John Batchelor. The Islamic Republic of Iran, the suspect nuclear weapons program, the Biden administration's intention to reawaken the JCPOA from 2015, now set aside. There is a date in Vienna, September 9th. The IAEA is meeting, and the agenda is critical to understand where Iran's suspect nuclear program is in development, given that Iran is now conducting a multi-front war against Israel, including missile exchanges, including the threat of more missile exchanges. I welcome Andrea Stricker for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, writing most recently about what is expected at this IAEA meeting in September, publishing it. Andrea is the Deputy Director of the Nonproliferation and Biodefense Program and a research fellow at the FTD. Read this in the Allgemeiner. Andrea, very good evening to you. On the agenda is Iran. To what end, after all these years of inspecting, cameras up, cameras down, what is the immediate pressure on the IAEA? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Great to be with you. So the IAEA's 35-member Board of Governors will meet on September 9th throughout that week to review Iran's compliance with the board's demands last June made in a censure resolution against Iran that the regime come into compliance with the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty, as well as an IAEA investigation into the regime's nuclear weapons work. I'm not expecting much from Washington and Europe in terms of a tough follow-on resolution, particularly given reports that Washington has offered Iran sanctions relief to avoid attacking Israel, and maybe trying to pull its punches politically ahead of this meeting. We also may have some bad news ahead, though, with regard to Iran's nuclear advances. In June and July, Iran told the IAEA that it was adding hundreds more fast-generation IR-6 centrifuges at the deeply buried Fordow site, meaning the regime could triple its ability to make 60% highly enriched uranium, which it has been doing at that facility for a while. So that could increase the regime's breakout time, raising the urgency of the Iran nuclear file as we head into the U.S. election.
The two pieces here. One is the fissile material brought to weapons grade, which I remember being 90%, but the number's moving. And then the second part is miniaturizing and weaponizing that material once it exists. These are two different tracks. The IAEA is dealing with what track? The fissile material only?
The IAEA is trying to deal with the fissile material track chiefly, but it is also trying to get at the weaponization through its separate investigation into work that Iran may have carried out in the past on nuclear weapons work. Iran has been stonewalling that investigation for more than 5 years. But the concern now with the enrichment is that Iran is becoming so advanced in its ability to make fuel for multiple nuclear weapons, since the 60% purity puts them essentially days away from 90%, which is weapons grade, that it might be time for states to start focusing more on disrupting the next step, which is the effort to actually weaponize the material and construct the nuclear devices.
This level of inspection or concern by the IAEA, does it have a precedent? Has the IAEA ever had to bull its way into a country to find out whether they're weaponizing? Is this all new to them?
This is not new. They've done this in Iraq, where they went to see whether there was an ongoing nuclear weapons program in the early 1990s, and then they helped shut that down. They also, to a certain extent, had to bulldoze their way a little bit into South Africa, once that state decided to give up its nuclear weapons in the late 80s and early 90s. They had planned to just simply shut everything down, but the IAEA had to go in and ensure that it was all removed and closed down. And also in Libya, when Libya was trying to acquire a turnkey nuclear weapons program from the Khan network. So in many cases, including in Iran early on, it hasn't cooperated as much since the early 2000s. The IAEA has a long track record of looking for weaponization and ensuring that it's ended.
I want to make sure I understand what the IAEA's able to do and what it wants to do. The fissile material, Fordo. Does the IAEA have access to Fordo, where you say that it could have 1,400 advanced spinning machines right now? Does the IAEA have access to that?
They do have access to Fordo. They have access to other enrichment facilities, facilities in Iran that produce nuclear material or are using nuclear material. It becomes tougher because Iran has restricted IAEA access under an enhanced inspection agreement called the Additional Protocol, where the IAEA can't really ask to go to sites that are ancillary to the nuclear program, such as maybe a university that it thinks could be carrying out weaponization-related activities. But in that case, the IAEA does have the authority to use what's called a special inspection. It has only used them twice before in Romania and North Korea in the early 1990s. But with enough political pressure, asking for a special inspection can get use into any site in the country. It just really depends on the will of member states to enforce an IAEA request of that nature.
There are two wars in Eurasia. One of them now is escalating into attacks on Mother Russia and sending drones over Moscow. I mention that because it's very easy to imagine the IAEA is not getting much attention from world governments. Is there a sense of alarm anywhere in this? Washington, Vienna, Brussels, anybody alarmed?
I don't think there's enough alarm. I think certainly, and they also have the Supreme Leader announcing that he's willing to restart nuclear talks. I think the world powers should be focused more on penalizing, constraining, and deterring Iran's advances rather than falling for that type of a ruse. Because I think, number one, he is looking to obtain continued sanctions relief, regardless of who is elected president in the U.S. And then also, he wants cover to continue advancing his nuclear program while dragging the West through these new talks. He's had almost 4 years, after all, during the Biden administration and its pursuit of nuclear diplomacy to reach a deal. So why hasn't he then?
The word snapback, is anyone using it right now? This has always been a threat that hasn't been acted upon for those 4 years.
I'm not hearing anyone talking about snapback, and that's the process of putting back all the previous Iran sanctions that the UN had enforced up until 2015. And those remain suspended by the nuclear deal, which is in a zombie-like status, basically, since the U.S. withdrawal in 2018. But the snapback mechanism actually ends in 2025. So we do have a reckoning ahead. And that entails also putting back the military equipment embargo, the missile embargo, and the restrictions on Iranian enrichment. That seems like it should be a very simple step that world powers would want to take at the next IAEA meeting. But of course, there's no talk of that when there are other priorities.
Andrea Stricker, Deputy Director of the Nonproliferation and Biodefense Program at the FTD, where she is a research fellow. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.